2024 Yakandanda Folk Festival was held from 22nd to 24th of March and once again boasted a mouth-watering lineup of local and international acts. Indigo FM's presenters staked out our studios to record interviews and live-to-air performances with a number of the artists.
In carbu per scrivere, in o pensare per ministre, si appare.
Here's an interview with Winborne chatting to Scott. Live in the studio, we have the band, they're a vocal quartet. They're called Winborne. They're from Massachusetts, and they are Jeremy, Lynn, Lauren, and Will. And I want to give them a big welcome to the airwaves of Indigo FM and also to the Yakandanda Folk Festival. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So, there's, from time to time, we do get vocal groups and things like that, but it's not a too common of a thing. But do you want to tell us a little bit about your group, like how you came together and how long you've been doing your work, and why purely just vocals?
Yeah, so we started out as a group of friends who really just enjoyed singing together. Our families were sort of part of this community in the U.S. where vocal music and singing in community was really a part of just sort of day-to-day life. Any gathering that would happen or any celebration, party of friends, at some point in the evening, inevitably, someone would start a song, and everyone else would just sort of jump in with improvised harmonies. It wasn't stuff that we were taught. It was just people making things up and, you know, figuring out the notes as they went along. And so that really gave us the foundation for thinking about music in that way. And we met through that, as well as through a singing camp called Village Harmony, where we started being exposed to different kinds of traditions where essentially that same thing was happening, but in other cultures. So going to Corsica or South Africa or to Lithuania, Basque Country, finding these groups of people and being inspired by, oh, they're doing what we grew up doing, which is not what most people think of as, you know, the culture from the United States. That's not the image that people have. It's like, oh, people just all singing together. But that really became the core of what Winborne is today, that upbringing and then exposure to other countries and cultures. And we draw that together in our music. So we say that we sing songs from countries and cultures with harmony singing traditions. And then these days, in particular, we sing a lot of music that has a message of social struggle drawn from movements of the past, sung for some of the issues that we see in today's world.
Yeah, I have noticed that a little bit with some of your releases. And I was actually chatting about 6 weeks ago to Scott Cook, and he mentioned you guys. He made sure to highlight you as a really unique act on the Folk Festival bill. So, yeah. So, and the as Winborne, how long have you been together for?
Well, we've known each other since we were teenagers and have been singing together as friends for a really long time. But we came together as a quartet in 2013 for a tour. But then for a bunch of years, it was just a really part-time thing that we were doing in amongst all the other things we were doing with our lives. But it changed in a pretty big way for us in 2016, 2017, around our first album that had some of these old protest songs from the past sung for the present day. And if listeners can sort of think back to what was going on at that time in American politics, you know, we were working on this album of political songs and went to New York City for a gig and said, you know what we need to do with some of these old protest songs is sing some of them outside of a particularly shiny gold tower there belonging to a certain then presidential candidate.
Yeah.
And that ended up, we took a little selfie video of some of the songs, and one of the videos ended up going viral, and people started writing to us from all over the country saying, you know, when are you coming to our area? We really need music like this right now. And that sort of community outpouring of support was the thing that kind of made us, you know, look at it and be like, well, if there's ever a time to put sort of full-time effort into the band, you know, now's the time. So that was what inspired us to, you know, as it were, leave our day jobs and make music our full-time living. Since about the end of 2017, we've been doing this full time, pandemic notwithstanding.
Yeah. So, one thing I have noticed, I guess, over the last 5 years or so, particularly in Australia, but could be maybe around the world, is the rise of community singing groups. It's very, very big. In fact, very big here in Yakandanda. Like, they have posters here, probably. Maybe somewhere. I know community singing, the pubs do them, and right. The pub choir thing. I don't know, is that... It's very big in Australia, the idea of pub choir, and with that really, is a lot of that from where you guys are from, or have you seen much of that sort of growth in just community singing, people coming together? Like, there's always been choirs, of course, but I guess community singing for the common person, I guess, you know?
So I think that's always been an important thing, and I think it's always existed, but maybe... been less visible. I think it depends on the communities. There are certain smaller pockets. Again, we grew up in areas where that was very common, pub sings and community choirs, and we all grew up with that. But there are regions where that's less common, and I think you're right. I think it's becoming more common, and I think that's a very important trend, because I think it's important for people to see that singing and making music together doesn't have to be a thing for just the professionals. I think that we understand that with sports. That's been very common. You can do sports for fun, but also there are professionals, and those don't have to be the same thing. And that's true with music as well. There can be professional performers, and that doesn't mean that the average person shouldn't have fun just jamming with their own band or singing in a community choir. And I think people are starting to realize that those two things can exist and don't have to be the same. I think in the past, people have been told at a young age, sadly, that, oh, you're not good enough as a singer, so you shouldn't sing. And that really harms people. It's a pity. I think that everyone should sing. I think everyone can sing to a certain extent, and we shouldn't hold ourselves to the same level as professionals. It's okay to have those be different things. And I also think that making music together is really feeds the soul and connects people in a really important way that we don't have as much these days, and maybe people are really yearning for that. And it's another thing that sports can do. Playing sports together is a way that you can build community, and doing art of various kinds together is another way that you can build community, and it's really important. I'm glad to see a rise in that.
Excellent, thanks for that. Well, have you got the vocal cords warmed up?
You know, it's the first thing in the morning, which is not the normal time, but we will give you a show.
after 12 o'clock.
It's musician's morning.
exactly. So, I might hand things over to you guys to just enthrall us all with one of your pieces.
Yeah, well, we'll sing for you that song that we sang outside of that shiny tower in New York that really launched us into performing full-time. It's originally from England in the 1830s and 40s from the Chartist movement, which was a working class movement for basic rights of democracy. And it's a piece that has inspired a lot of people to add verses to it over the years. So we'll sing some of the original, some of the added verses, and a couple of verses that we wrote ourselves. And this particular version of the melody is by the Canadian musician Ian Robb. It's called Song of the Lower Classes.
We plow and sow, we are so low that we delve in the dirty clay, till we bless the plain with golden grain and the vale with the fragrant hay. Our place we know, we are so low down at the landlord's feet. We're not too low the bread to grow, but too low the bread to eat. We're low, we are so low, yet from our fingers glide the silken flow and the robes that glow round the limbs of the sons of pride. And what we get and what we give, we know and we know our share. We're not too low the cloth to weave, but too low the cloth to wear. Down, down we go, we are are so low to the hell of the deep sunk mine. But we gather the proudest gems that glow, and the crown of the despot shines. Whenever he lacks upon our backs fresh loads he deigns to lay, we're far too low to vote the tax, but not too low to pay. We're low as to war we go to fight some foreign country that was yesterday our greatest friend, but today's our enemy. God bless our boys, the papers scream, praise them, the churchmen cry. When the war is won and home we come, who cares if we live or die? We're low, so low, into boats we go to flee war in our home country. And we'll try to make a better life when we land across the sea. But it's send them back, the press cries out, back to where they came. We're far too low to feed and clothe, but not too low to blame. We are so low, but soon we know that the low folk will arise. The tyrants in their towers of gold shall hear the people's cries. No more shall they hold us in thrall, their lies we will not heed. But every heart shall hear the call, and the people will be free.
Awesome. Wow. That was wonderful. Thank you. Yeah. I'm not sure where to begin, but just some obvious, just some great harmonies and real balance to the to that particular track. Do you want to... Thanks, yeah, good one. Yeah, so that's... If we just maybe talk a little bit about what you're doing, like touring in Australia. Have you been... Where does this festival sit within the scale of things you've been doing since you've been here?
Yeah, we're sort of towards the end of our tour, amazingly. We have two gigs today at the festival. We're tomorrow actually heading to Melbourne, to Northcote, at the Wesleyan, and doing a 3 p.m. show there for folks who have family in Melbourne who want to send them our way. And then we're at the National Folk Festival next weekend. Yep. And that really concludes our tour. But we started in Sydney, we went down to Adelaide and did a concert in St. Peter's Cathedral in this amazing resonance space. We went up to the Sunshine Coast in Queensland and did a bunch of gigs up there, went to the Blue Mountains for the Blue Mountain Festival, sang in Janolan Caves, got to sing in these underground caverns.
Wow.
So it's been about, the total tour is about 5 weeks, and then we head over to Canada, have a little bit of time in Canada, and then make our way back home.
Okay.
Beginning of April.
Yeah, sure. And what's... do you, like you were talking earlier about touring and, you know, rattling off a whole lot of countries over in Europe and things like that, or, you know, like, so has that been something that's really picked up over the last, you know, since that 2017 onwards period, or?
So some of the travel that Jeremy was mentioning earlier to places like Corsica and South Africa, that was sort of study trips that we did when we were much younger, actually, teenagers and in university, through this camp called Village Harmony, and that sort of introduced us to a lot of the singing traditions that influence our music making today. We have been touring a lot more in Europe in the past few years. We've toured in the UK, what, like 5 times now in this past year. Really expanded into other parts of Europe. Went to Portugal and Belgium, and did a tour in the Nordic countries, in Norway and Sweden and Finland. We got to spend some time in Lithuania, not actually performing, but doing some connection with a community there that particularly Lynn and Will have spent a lot of time working with and connecting with some of the folk music there. So yeah, we do a lot of touring. Really, anywhere people will hire us, including a lot in the U.S. You know, we live in the Northeast, but we travel all over. We like to joke that people think that the job of a professional musician is to perform, but it's really to be in the car and drive to gigs.
And the plane and the train.
I guess, do you ever, when you're on a plane, do you ever, get the urge to just want to break out into a bit of a choir, sing, and see if other passengers on the plane might join in? Or
if there's ever a time when we're stuck on the runway for 5 hours, you know, we'll definitely get the plane singing, don't worry.
So a little bit about some of your music that you've got and your shows today. You've got let's talk about your shows that you've got coming up.
So the shows today, we have a set at 5 o'clock in the Marquee, and then at 10:30, I believe, in the Public Hall.
That's tomorrow morning.
That'll be tonight.
Tonight.
10:30 evening. We'll close out the Public Hall this evening.
Okay.
And both of the sets, we're gonna have sort of a little bit of a different flavor to them. So, as well as to the set last night. So, if folks see us at one, come along to the next one. You know, there might be one or two songs that that will be familiar, but most of it will be new songs. And we'll sort of be taking audiences, both across centuries and across continents, and singing a little bit from a bunch of different kinds of places. And one of the things that we do really in concert is talk about the styles of music, and we explain a little bit about why it sounds this way, where it's coming from, what the song was used from, and particularly the songs that come from movements. What was that movement? What were they fighting for? How is that connected to what we see in the world today? Really, we find that sometimes with the music, that can reach people in a place where just like the talking or writing or whatever that is, that we have so much of in the world these days, so many opinions, so much stuff online. People hear some buzzword and they divide. They know what side they're on. But if we slip it into a song, sometimes that can shift people in a different way.
Yeah, sure. So just for anyone listening out there, just a reminder. So Saturday today is the only time you can catch these guys, apart from here in the studio as well, because off to Northcote tomorrow for a gig. How have you found this festival so far in the 24 hours or so you've been here?
Oh, it's really fun.
It's a lovely place, a lovely audience, just a great vibe.
Yeah.
It was so fun, both last night seeing all of, like, the families and kids running around the streets, and then this morning walking into the studio, there's all of these young people on the streets busking, there's something that's really encouraging about that. It's like, there's 10-year-olds who are busking, and there's 85-year-olds who are, like, there, and there's performers of all ages. You know, we have people who are really in our peer group and younger, and, you know, we've been touring for the past couple weeks with Andrea Kerwin, Claire Evelyn, down from Namver, and that's been really fun. And we've also been touring with Christina Turin, who's a harpist, who's sort of an older generation, and just like bringing all of that together. We've been traveling around in the Peace Run Records tour van, and having that, you know, both in our tour and then coming to the festival and seeing, like, oh yeah, that intergenerationality is really present and vital, and like that's what's making this community work. It's been exciting.
And the parade yesterday.
The parade.
That was so much fun.
And I think that really speaks to what Lynn was saying earlier about, like, music is really for everyone, however it fits into your life. Like, I just can't agree more with what Lynn was saying about it. It just, it really, we very firmly believe that everyone can sing, and we want to bring everyone in. You know, singing is obviously our thing, but, like, whether you're playing an instrument or singing or making music in a different way, like, it really is for everyone. And and we, I love that the festival really exemplifies that.
Yeah.
And we as Winborne teach workshops too to people who don't need to have any experience at all. We love encouraging community singing and teaching some of what we do.
Yeah, fabulous. Awesome. Did you want to do another song?
Yeah, we could do another song. Yeah.
So we would love to share a song that comes from the south of France.
Yeah.
And it is, it's a, it's actually not in the French language. It's in a language that's called Occitan, which it used to be called the Languedoc. But it's really a minority language in France now, but there's still people who are engaging with the folklore of that language and that cultural group, and there's still people writing new songs in the traditional styles, and this is one of those. It's written by a man named Laurent Cavalier, and he wrote this song in protest of the proposed construction of a prison in Toulouse, and he used this old form, a counting song. They start at nine. You have nine of something, and then the next verse you have eight, and it counts down. And it's, the song says, "There are nine pieces of charcoal for writing, nine thoughts for mulling over written on the walls of nine prisons. He who is sound of body will go crazy in prison." And as the traditional form, it counts down, and we've written an arrangement that also sort of descends a bit into madness. So this is Nau Carbus, nine charcoals.
Okay. All right.
Nau Carbus per escrire. Nau pensarus per ministre. Lucas bue benanan, ben kabutu bemichan. Lucas bue benanan, ben kabutu bemichan. Lucas bue benanan, ben kabutu bemichan. Vit carbus per escrire, vit pensaros per ministre, sur appare de vit prisu. Lucas fue benanan, ben cabutu bemichan. Lucas fue benanan, ben cabutu bemichan. Set carbus per escrire, set pensaros per ministre, sur appare de set prisu. Lucas fue benanan, ben cabutu bemichan. Lucas fue benanan, ben cabutu bemichan. Ses carbus per escrire, ses pensaros per ministre, sur appare de seis prisu. Lucas fue benanan, ben cabutu bemichan. Lucas fue benanan, ben cabutu bemichan. Sin carbus per escrire, sin pensaras per ministre, sur appare de sin prisu. Lucas fue benanan, ben cabutu bemichan. Lucas fue benanan, ben cabutu bemichan. Tres carbus per escrire, tres pensaros per ministre, sur appare de tres prisu. Lucas fue benanan, ben cabutu bemichan. Lucas fue benanan, ben cabutu bemichan. Dus carbus per escrire, dos pensaros per ministre, sur appare de dos prisu.
Lucas Pue Benanan, Ben Cabu to Be Mi Chan. Lucas Pue Benanan, Ben Cabu to Be Mi Chan. Lucas Pue Benanan, Ben Cabu to Be Mi Chan. Lucas Pue Benanan, Ben Cabu to Be Mi Chan. Lucas Pue Benanan, Ben Cabu to Be Mi Chan. Lucas Pue Benanan, Ben Cabu to Be Mi Chan. In carbu per escrire. Io pensarò per ministre se la pare di no prisu. Lucas Pue Benanan, Ben Cabu to Be Mi Chan. Lucas Pue Benanan, Ben Cabu to Be Mi Chan. Lucas Pue Benanan, Ben Cabu to Be Mi Chan. Lucas Pue Benanan, Ben Cabu to Be Mi Chan.
Wow, that was incredible. Can you sing in multiple languages, different songs?
Yeah, we sing regularly in maybe 5 or 6 languages, but you know, across our history, as different songs come into our repertoire and out of our repertoire, and we get really excited about one tradition and then sing less of that over time, and all of that sort of changes. I think we counted it up at one point and we sang in like 24 different languages over the course of our history. So we spend a lot of time both working with singing masters from various traditions to learn that, as well as a lot of careful listening. We don't actually speak all of those languages, you know, it would be very impressive if we did. But,
pronunciation is a different thing.
But it is sort of important for us to understand, as we're going through each phrase, what are we singing about, so that we can convey the meaning of the song to the audience, even when that, even when that's not something that they can understand linguistically.
Sure.
Something else that I was thinking about as we were singing that song is that it's actually a really good example of sort of our arranging process. So, you know, all of the songs that we sing come to us basically as just a melody. And the thing that we really do, the thing that is our craft, is writing the harmonies, the arrangement. And it's something that we do as like a really collaborative process. There's not one person that sits down and like writes parts for us and then we learn them. We really do it by singing and by doing. Well, like in rehearsal, we'll have one person sing the melody and just loop that a whole bunch of times, and everyone else will just get to play and make up harmonies and just like try out a lot of ideas until we find the things that we think really fit the song. And that song was a really good example of how each verse really has a different set of harmonies on it, partly because we have to get in everyone's good ideas, but also because we really want to use the shaping of the harmonies to bring out different pieces of the song. And so even in a song where it's not in English, so maybe, you know, people aren't being able to hear the lyrics and understand the lyrics, that we still take people on a emotional journey through the song via the harmonies. And that's the, you know, we like to say that the instrument that we play is the collective of Windborne. It's a long process, the get going through all of those harmonies and all of that sort of winnowing down of ideas to find the right thing for each particular moment. But it's one that really we think is well worth it, because the thing that we create as a collective is so different than what any one of us could come up with individually. So that's sort of a little window into our process of creation.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. It's quite fascinating, because obviously a lot of people are probably familiar with how bands go about creating music when there's, you know, instruments and vocals and different, you know, traditional kind of band setup, but with 4 vocalists, it's quite different.
I mean, we don't work with like chord charts or anything. It's all done by ear. Only time we create sheet music is well after we've finished a song and have been performing it a lot, and it's usually when someone's like, hey, can I buy your arrangement of that song? And then we go, Will, you get to transcribe what we just did. We don't talk in music theory language when we arrange. We talk in sort of expressive language, like, oh, this moment needs to be more triumphant or more mysterious or more bitter, because that's really the language that most people experience music in. And that's, you know, given that we as a group have different levels of sort of like music theory among us, that's sort of our common language, is the language of expression rather than the language of technicality.
Awesome.
And you mentioned that, you know, people are sometimes, you know, might not be familiar with that. And I do want to just put in a plug for our Patreon. Patreon is an online platform where ordinary people can sign up as small-scale patrons of the arts, and for a monthly donation of whatever fits their budget, they can both help us have a stable income, and also that's the place where we share those stories of how do we go about those processes. It's all the behind the scenes, it's the works in progress, it's the music that doesn't get recorded on CDs because it doesn't quite fit the theme, or you know, we haven't quite figured out how to get that in there. But that's where we're releasing a lot of our new music, and people can find that at patreon.com/windborn or on our website windbornsingers.com. And it's important to note that it's Windborn, B-O-R-N-E. There's no
exactly,
U in it.
Exactly, exactly. No, that's. I'm glad you pointed that out, because early days when I was exploring and searching, I thought, oh, that's right, there's no U in it. Yeah. So let's just
talk. I like to say it's like Melbourne without a U and with wind instead of Mel.
Okay. Clear as
yeah.
mud.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Now, you had an album a couple of years ago of Hard Times and Harmony. Yep, so that's something that is available on Bandcamp, for example. So I guess in general, you've talked about the Patreon and you just wrote it off a website. Anywhere else where people should go to find information? Or
I mean, honestly, if you're around the town, come find us in person and get a CD. That's the way that you can support us best. Also, our most recent two albums are both books, actually. We really like writing liner notes, and so we kept telling these stories, and then we're like, no, this can't just fit on the covers. No, this can't just fit in a booklet that you shove inside the CD. This is going to be an actual book with 80 pages of art and information and all of that. And we like also, in a time when so much of music is this ephemeral thing in the cloud, giving something tangible that people can hold and return to and set on their table and just flip through and really have that physical connection is very different. So those are pretty unique items. Come find us and check that out. Also, it breaks my heart every time we have to send a CD from the US to Australia, because it costs about $50 Australian in shipping, which is more than the CD costs. So, you know, if you get it from us in person, that both supports us the best, and also it's like 60% off for you.
Sure. Awesome.
And we're also on social media and all of the predictable places. Our handle is Windborn Singers, so that's another place to find more about what we're doing these days.
Awesome. And when you were talking about the book aspect, I was thinking, sitting over in the corner on the top shelf, I've got Scott Cook's last album, Tangle of Souls, which had about, I don't know, 200-page book or something, which he, you know, so no wonder he recommended you guys, because he loves that aspect, that what you've just encapsulated about, you know, in this, you know, as a sort of a response in a way to the way music exists in the world a little bit, to have something tangible. And
exactly. We shared a statement with Scott in Ontario, Canada last summer, and instantly hit it off on stage. The repertoires were really compatible. We were like trading off songs, and just so appreciating each other's music. And then we went out to the merch stand and looked, and we're the only two people that I've like ever met that have like books as our CDs. So it's like, oh, yeah, I get it. We love Scott, and we're really looking forward to seeing him. That's sort of where I'm heading in an hour.
So. Yeah, Scott's at the festival as well today.
Yeah.
So check him out.
So it's 5:00 at the Marquee.
10:30 p.m.
Closing out things at the Public Hall.
Wonderful.
All right, well, have two amazing shows, and safe travels, and a good show tomorrow in Northcote.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for joining us on the airwaves. We might just go out with the track off this album I've got in front of me, of Hard Times and Harmony. I've got a track teed up, which is, who is it? World Turned Upside Down. Short one. So do you want to tell me a little bit about this one?
Yeah, so this is a little tiny snippet of a song almost that came from the UK probably around 200 years ago. The origins are slightly mysterious, but really it's this song that speaks to beyond politics, but just to the humanity of the world and the idea of envisioning and dreaming of something better being the first step to creating the world that we would like to live in.
Awesome. Okay.
Through eating too much supper before I went to bed, Strange thoughts came o'er my slumber, strange thoughts came in my head. This world was topsy-turvy, and people of renown were doing the most peculiar things as the world turned upside down. I dreamt all folk were equals, and there were no starving poor, and nations never did quarrel, nor never went to war. Oh, what a curious vision, and yet a question sounds, is it in dreams or